I feel a stirring in the atmosphere. Praise God. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. Wait before we go there. No, let's go to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 16. Everybody say with me as you turn to Ephesians 4, beginning with verse 11, that we are destined to mature. You and I have a destiny. God has a will and purpose for everyone in this room, and it's not to become stagnant in your spiritual life. And it's not even to jump into spiritual service. Some people try to jump into spiritual service before they are rooted and grounded in Christ. And you're going to find out if you're going to get out there on the battlefield for the Lord, you better have your armor on. And you better be committed to Jesus, because the devil's not going to sit back and just let you do that. And you need to have your own life really, really stabilized in the Lord. Amen. If it isn't, you're going to be moved. I've seen ministers fail and fall after 30 years of ministry, 25 years of ministry, evangelistic ministries reaching the world, and the next thing you hear is of a failure, and you wonder, how can that be? Well, it can be to anyone who doesn't stay close to God. You can't just preach. The anointing is not what shields you from the enemy. The anointing doesn't make you safe. It makes you powerful to overcome. Your safety is in the Lord Himself and your heart commitment to Him. And so keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Can you say amen? All right. You're destined to mature. Someone asked what an adult is to a child in a Sunday school class. What do you believe it means to grow up in God? What is an adult? And I like one kid's answer. He said, someone who has stopped growing at both ends but is still growing in the middle. I think that's a pretty good example of an adult. You quit growing up and you start growing out. Can you say, man, still growing in the middle? But spiritually speaking, that's what a mature Christian is. Amen. We're not just growing up into Him, but we're growing in our inward man. And the Bible said that He wants to strengthen us with all might in the inward man. In fact, He wants to replicate Jesus. The Holy Spirit's work within the believer is to begin to replicate the character of Christ within you and within me. And He uses the Word by His Spirit to do that. But that's His purpose for every one of you. Everybody say Romans 8:28. Now, we all know that. It's the knot at the end of the rope. It's what I hold on to when I don't know what's happening or why it's happening. Brother Bimba, why did God allow that in your life? Listen, I do have an idea. I do have an idea. I'm learning things every day from that incident in my life. I'm getting a fresh opportunity to walk out my faith, not just to talk out my faith. Can you say amen? You can't just talk faith. You got to walk faith. And if things don't go wrong, you never have an opportunity. If you faith that can't be tested can't be trusted, because it will break down on you. Well, why do you think God let this happen to you? I don't even have to try to figure that out. Amen. What I'm thanking Him for right now is what He did in the midst of all of this. Amen. Without a test, there can't be a testimony. Well, I've got a testimony. Praise God. Can you say amen? Amen. So some of you are getting a testimony, but you had to go through a test, and God took you through it, and He took me through it. And it's kind of neat to know that just being anointed doesn't shield you from life circumstances and from things that can happen. I mean, one day everything is fine, and the next day all of that is changed, but God never changes, and His Word is true. And His nature never changes. All right. Well, here's the deal. For we do know that all things work together for good. We do know that, because that's the kind of God He is. He said, I'm going to take everything that touches you. Amen. And I can use it for good if you'll keep your trust in me. And we know that. And we need to know that deep, settled experiential knowledge down inside of us. So when it starts happening, we already know that God is still in control and God is on the throne. We do know. We do know. Oh, well, friend of mine, there's nothing like that. They that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Can you say amen? But we do know, oh, that I might know him, was Paul's great cry. There wasn't enough miracle power in his life to take away that hunger to know him more deeply, more personally, and more intimately. Can you say, man? When it becomes knowledge through experience, it's something that can't be shaken. When everything that comes along to distract you from that, you know that you know that you know. Beth Ellis was a great preacher of times gone by. He used to pastor right down from the old Holy Church of God years ago. He wrote a lot of songs, sang a lot of songs, a great pastor, a stalwart, a man of faith and power. And I remember Beth Ellis, he was in a meeting in Hawaii. And he said, I was in it was a crusade type meeting to win souls in Hawaii. And he said, we'd just gotten underway and many people were coming to know Jesus as their Savior. He said, I got a phone call late in the evening and said, your son is in the hospital with a brain tumor and is pressing on his brain. He's in critical condition. And the doctors are going to have to go in and put a hole up here somewhere to try to relieve the pressure that is on his brain. And when you get that kind of a call, you got to have something deep down on the inside of you. You're a human being. You can't just blow that off in the name of faith. You got to deal with that through faith. You don't deal with fear by denying its presence. Amen. This is not about denying the reality of things. It's looking at the real with the same real knowledge of God down in your heart and your soul. And Beth Ellis said, it just hit me so hard, like somebody had just hit me with something and knocked all the spiritual wind out of me. And he said, I cried out to the Lord. And I said, Lord, I'm not there, but you're right there. You're right there right now. And they told him, you better come quick, because he was in a life and death situation. Naturally, he went and got the ticket. He got on the plane, first plane out for America from Hawaii. Amen. And he said, but deep in my heart after I prayed, he said, I knew. That's what I'm talking about. When it gets down in you like that, I knew. How can you know that you know that you know? I mean, this is confirmation on top of confirmation. Can you say amen? I laid in the floor and I couldn't get Pamela to hear me. But I knew that God was listening. I couldn't get an ambulance to come because I couldn't get to no phone. I've never been in that condition. Helpless, but not hopeless. But deep in my heart, I knew that I knew that I knew. This is unshakable knowledge. God is in control. The devil is not in control. My times are in his hands. Hallelujah. He wants me home. I don't fear that. But if he don't want me home, then I'm not going home yet. Amen. It's not a matter of fearing death. It's a matter of not finishing my course. I want to finish my course. I want Paul's epitaph. I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. What God has set for me and purpose for me to do, I have finished it. Praise God. Amen. I'm ready to be offered up after finishing my course. Amen. And surely there's a crown laid up for me. Amen. And going to receive a crown is not a bad deal. Say amen. And not for me only, but all those that love his appearing. All those that love his appearing. Can you say amen? Someone trying? The alarm. Somebody's car alarm. So it's good to check that out. It's mine. It's yours. Okay, something must have shook his truck. We need to be watchful, watch and pray. That's what we do around here in this fallen world. Can you say amen? Listen carefully. I knew that I knew that I knew. And I knew what Beth Ellis was talking about when I heard him tell this truth experience in his life many years ago. He said, I can't explain it, but I wasn't afraid. I wasn't overly upset. I wasn't deeply concerned. I knew that I knew that I knew that God was in control. For we do know. It has to get down in you like that to help you in those times of crisis. God wants His Word so deep inside of you and the knowledge of Him so deeply ingrained in you that you can trust in Him unequivocally. That you are not shaken by events to the point of just questioning and doubting God. He wants you to know that you know that you know. When that peace comes, you know that you know that you know. It's affirmation and it's confirmation. Can you say amen? If you don't have that, it can't help you in those troubled times. And fear will grip you and try to strangle out your faith. But if you know that you know that you know. Hallelujah. And I knew something else. I knew the outcome before I knew the outcome. Because I knew that all things, including this thing, will work together for good to them that love Him and are the called according to His purpose. Can you say amen? I do love my Master. I do love my Lord. Hallelujah. And I'm called and you are called according to His purpose. Everything is working to that end. Verse 29 has to come into this. You've got to understand, God doesn't just sit in His heaven to make everything convenient for you and me. He's working in our life to this end. All things work together for good to them that love Him and are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. God doesn't just want you in church. He wants you in Christ. Oh, yeah. 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 God doesn't just want you to be a better person. He wants you to be more like His Son. And Jesus learned the obedience through what? What did He learn it through? Did He learn it by going to a seminar? Did He learn it because an angel showed up with a revelation? It was experientially. Everybody say experientially. Did He learn it because He knew it from the beginning? No, He had to walk through these things just like you and I. He had to live through them. Christ learned obedience through the things that He suffered. Oh, thank you. You say suffer around Christians, they get an attitude. Amen. I want the kind of faith that exempts me from any pressure or pain. There is no such faith in the Bible. You're not greater than your Master. I hate to burst your bubble. He learned it that way. You're going to take a shortcut. He learned it that way, but you want a painless, pressureless life experience where you manipulate life to your convenience. No, that's spiritual immaturity. The Bible didn't press shallow. How shallow can you get? Jesus learned obedience through what? Anybody believe the Bible here? Any Bible believers? Anybody ever read that book? You'll find it's in that book. I know you don't want to hear it. I'm sorry. You came to the wrong church. You know I'm going to tell you the truth whether you want to hear it or not. I know you're not going to smile as I preach or teach. But someday you're going to go through something. You're going to need to know that you know that you know when you get there. Can you say amen? Because if you know that you know that you know, you can go through it and you can look for positive results on the other side. Think it not strange, the fiery trial. That doesn't mean you got to run in your hose just before church. Can you say amen? I'm talking about something big enough to affect you and put you under pressure. Can you say amen? Think it not strange, the what kind of trial? The fiery trial that has come upon you is, listen, some strange thing has happened to you. Can you say amen? But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you are able to bear, who will with the temptation make a way of escape that you might be able to bear it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And when He brings you through to the other side, amen, the faith, though your faith be tried as with fire, it shall be found unto the glory and the honor of God. Amen. I've got a testimony because I've been and am being and will be tested. Hallelujah, my flesh has suffered its own will in its own way. But God's glory can now be revealed in my life and it will be in yours. Listen to this. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 1. For as much as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh. Everybody say, in the flesh. What do you think was happening? Before he ever got to the cross and the nails pierced him, before the scourging, what do you think was happening in the Garden of Gethsemane? My dad plays that song on his violin. In the garden, I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. This was not a rose garden. Jesus didn't pray in a rose garden. Can you say amen? It wasn't a garden full of flowers and greenery. It was an olive orchard. It was full of olive. It was an olive grove. And they harvested and pressed the olives. There was an olive press in that garden. And that's where Jesus went to pray, in the olive garden where the olive press was. Gethsemane was its name, which meant olive press. Everybody say pressure. In this world, how many are still in this world? Yeah. You're not from another planet. You're going to leave this world when you leave this church. You've got to live in this world. Can you say amen? In this world, Christ said, you shall have tribulation. The pressure, thelpsis, is the Greek word. And it means anguish. It means pressure. I've got to learn to continually deal with the pressure of having a faulty body. And if you think your body's not faulty, it is. If you think something can't happen to you because you're walking in some bubble of divine providential care. No, honey. You're just as human as anybody else. And if you think something can't happen to you, just wait a few years. You're going to get to meet Arthur one of these days. One of them rightest boys. He mean as a snake. You say, don't confess it. You don't have to confess it. It's going to happen whether you confess it or whether you don't. It has nothing to do with what you say. It has to do with what God has said. Amen. And you know what God has said? He said, in this world, this one, this fallen world, amen, you're going to have tribulation. Pressure and anguish is going to come. You can't live in a fallen world. You can't go pray in the olive garden. In the rose garden. You've got to go pray in the olive garden. And what was Jesus experiencing in that garden? What kind of suffering in the flesh was he going through before nails ever pierced his hand? Oh, don't you just love it when young people that are 25 years old start talking to you about faith? They haven't walked through those valleys. They haven't lived in a body that's aging. Amen. They don't feel no pain. And they can get up there. That's why children preachers can't preach to me. I don't care how anointed they are, because they might be preaching the truth from the Bible, even under anointing, but they haven't walked through anything. Amen. They can't tell me how to overcome sexual temptation. They've never been sexually tempted. So the 10-year-old preaching don't do me any good whatsoever. The man has to walk through these things and tell me something through his personal experience, not just through his knowledge or his anointing. The Bible's true. Amen. But I don't listen to kid preachers. Can you say amen? And I don't even listen to grown-up preachers that haven't walked through some valleys and come through them. Because when I go through my valley, I need something that works down in that valley. I don't want to hear about just mountaintops all the time, because nobody can live on them. But there is a God that'll go with you in the valley. Can you say amen? But you got to have that no-so faith down on the inside of you that will allow peace to envelop you. Praise God. And not the peace of surrendering, amen, to the circumstance, but the peace of absolutely trusting God, amen, through it, and knowing that he is still in control. Praise God. Bebella said, I knew that my son would not die and live, that God had heard my cry in behalf of my son. And all the way on the plane, the enemy would come and try to speak fear into me. But I knew that I knew that I knew. Can you say amen? See, God has a plan. God has a purpose. And God has a will. And the Bible said, and this is the confidence. Hallelujah. The unequivocal trust that we have in him. Hallelujah. That if we ask anything according to his will, we know. Listen to the no's. Count them. One. We know that he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we know that we have the petition that we've desired of him. I know that I know that I know. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you know that you know that you know, You can't be shaken by the circumstance. Even though you don't understand it, you know that you know that you know. Maybe some of you don't figure that out yet, but God wants you to know that all things work together for good. So when things seem to be out of control, that you know that they're still in God's control and that good is going to come if you keep your trust in Him. Hallelujah. You say, Brother Bimble, I've given to the Lord all these years. I've had financial crisis in my life. You got to know. You got to know. You got to know. You got to know that you know that you know. If you stop to try to figure it all out, you'll find yourself doubting God, if not accusing God. But if you quit trying to figure it out and say, I don't know why, but I know Him. There's a man went to Africa and told this story before, but he went to Africa and he was trying to find, to take Bibles in their language, a tribe that was in the real inward part of the jungles. And he took a plane so far and a four-wheel drive vehicle so far, and then a dugout canoe to take him to a village where there was a man from the other village that was deep in the jungles, and said, this is your guide. This man is from that village. And he's made the trip to our village many times, and he knows the way to that village. There was no map. So the missionary was having to put his trust in the man who was from the village who knew the way. And he said he started following him. They got up early in the morning. They started their journey to this deep into the jungles. And as they went, there was more. And he kept looking for a path. He kept, you know, it's so easy when you can see something as a point of reference. If I could see the path, I could trust my guide better because I could make sure he's on the path and we're on the path. And after a while, it kept building and building. They kept getting deeper and deeper. He became more and more disoriented in the thick canopy of the jungle. He didn't know where the sun was in relation to anything anymore because the trees covered all of that. He was disoriented. He was becoming kind of fearful. I remember Daniel Boone, they asked him one time in an actual interview as he blazed the Appalachian Trail, you know, as he was a trailblazer, were you ever lost out there? He said, no, I was never lost, but I was bewildered once for 3 days. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. That's pretty close to being lost out there when you're bewildered. I don't know which way to go. He said, no, I never considered myself lost, but I've been bewildered before. But listen to this. This is so typical of all of us. Amen. He said, after a while, I couldn't hold it anymore. He said, I just blurted out. I just blurted out to the guide because he's walking through all of this, and I don't even know if he knows where he's going anymore. Sometimes God is doing things that I don't know what he's up to. I've got to trust him. I've got to trust him. And he said, he blurted out to the guide, and he said to him, are you sure we're on the right path? And the guide looked back with a confident smile and said, I am the path. You follow me, we're going to get there. I know the way. I don't need a highway. I don't need a path or a map. I know the way. Jesus said essentially the same thing. I am the way. Yeah. I am the truth. I am the life. I'm not a way. I'm the way. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I remember one morning going to make a radio broadcast. We were broadcasting live. We had an old reel-to-reel, Altec, I think it was, reel-to-reel recorder, and I'd put that reel on and put a spool on it to get it at the higher speed for better voice quality. And I remember those. It's so nice now to have the digital stuff. I remember that old reel-to-reel turning. Sometimes the thing would break or get crinked, and I'd have to do it again. And I remember so I just went in and started making them live, WSOL, down on Kennedy Boulevard, half a day Spanish programming, half a day gospel programming. Amen. The Send the Light broadcast. And then the Foundations for Faith, Send the Light, WINQ, between Dover and Plant City. There's a station still sitting out there where it was, WINQ, praise God, Send the Light. And then Foundations for Faith, WSOL, God opened the door, God provided. But I remember I was going through something, and I was getting ready to preach on God's provision and God's leading, and I was in my own personal, I'm following the guide, but now I don't know where he's going, and I've got all these questions, and I'm kind of getting bewildered, amen. And I remember on Ashley, you know, when you get downtown headed for Kennedy Boulevard, Ashley Street, coming off that system and getting down in that part of Tampa, I remember I came up to a red light. And the Lord spoke to me just before I'm ready to go in and make a live radio broadcast, amen, about trusting God. And I'm in my own personal. See, you've got to experience this. You can't just teach it and preach it. Even though it's true, you need to walk through it. God has to take you through these things to get that experiential knowledge. That's where I know that I know that I know comes from. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Kid can't tell you that, no matter how anointed, because he ain't walked through it. Praise God. But somebody that's walked through it can tell you that. Listen carefully. Amen. Fact is, I kind of like the white hair. Praise the Lord. It says you've been somewhere. Amen. I don't know where all he's been, but amen, if your hair turns that white, you've been somewhere. Can you say amen? You've been down the road a piece. Praise God. Brother Taylor is getting a little snow up there on the chimney. Doesn't mean there's not a fire in the fireplace, I understand. But anyway, it means that there's wisdom. That's why the Bible said to honor the hoary head. That means the white hair, because it means that person has some experiential knowledge. That person has been where you are, but you've never been where they've been yet. Can you say, man? There's a grave marker up in New England. I looked at some of these grave markers. They're pretty comical. One of them says, I don't know what it said. One of them said, I have been where you are, and soon you'll be where I am. That'll get your attention. Can you say, man? You've got to live this out. You've got to walk this out. You can't just talk about this. You've got to walk it out. And that's why testimonies mean so much to me. When I hear a testimony, I know someone has been tested. And I know when they've been tested and God has come through, I can relate to them when I am tested. That's why when my greatest test of nervous exhaustion came years ago, amen, the greatest test of my life, I went to the book of Psalms. It was in Psalms that I found a man like me. A man going through deep trials and having doubts and wondering, how long, O Lord? How long, O Lord? Amen. I found an impatient man like me. I found a man like me with his own concerns. And yet I found a man like me being delivered and restored and set free. Can you say, man, in spite of his own weaknesses, God came through. Hallelujah. And his name was David. And when he wrote, I could relate to it. Here's a man in a deep, dark valley. And he said, he lifted me from the miry clay. I couldn't get out on my own. But he come down. He pulled me out of that place. He delivered me from the miry clay. He put my feet upon a rock. He didn't put me on a slippery slope to fall back in, but he established me. Can you say amen? He put a song in my heart. And the humble, the crushed by life, say crushed by life, they're going to hear what he did for me. They're going to take hope and be glad. Hallelujah. Somebody's going to hear what God has done for me, even recently, and they're going to take hope. Because you may be helpless in your circumstance, but you are not hopeless. God is on the throne. God has a plan. God is in control. Can you say amen? I pulled up to a red light on Ashley Street on a busy morning on the way to make a radio broadcast with these dilemmas in my heart, doubts, fears. Trying to focus, trying to get my faith back in order. God spoke to me. Because at that red light, there was a man with a cane. May I borrow yours? Thank the Lord it's not white with a red tip on it. He had the white cane with the red tip. He had a big German shepherd dog in a harness. I'm telling you, at that time of the morning, everybody's going to work in downtown Tampa. And the traffic was, boy, they're in a hurry. They're running late. They will run over thee. They will run over you. I mean, you know how it is. The light turns green and four horns honk immediately. It's not because they're asking if you love Jesus either. Can you say amen? You look back to see if it's a Christian waving at you and somebody giving you the bad finger because you haven't moved yet. They want you to, like you're in a race. It's like a race. And I looked over and it's like the Lord said, look at that. And here's a man that can't see at the one of those busy intersections at the rush hour. And he's waiting on that dog to check out the traffic. Because the dog can't read that sign that says walk and don't walk. He colorblind anyway. He don't know if he's red or green. But the dog does know, the car stopped or they're getting ready to move. And when the dog feels it's safe to cross, he gives a gentle, very gentle, not a hard pull, but a gentle tug. And you know what that guy does? He doesn't say, oh, Lord, I'm blind and the dog is colorblind. Amen? That's not what he says. He says, this dog knows whether it's safe to cross. And he's willing to trust that dog to make the right decision that could be life and death to him. And the dog says with a gentle tug, let's go. And here he goes with confidence, walking with that dog across that intersection. And the Lord spoke to me, and you know what he says to me. He said, if that man without sight and without seeing can trust that animal to take him across this busy intersection without seeing, without understanding, can't you trust me who said unto you, I will guide thee with mine eye. Hallelujah. Can't you trust me? I'm the path. You don't have to see no path. You don't have to know how all this is going to turn out in detail, but you can know that it's going to turn out, amen, for your good and my glory. Everybody say, for our good and his glory. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. As long as for our good and his glory, let that trial run its course. Amen. We're going to come forth not beaten and battered. We're going to come forth as pure gold because the only thing that fire is going to burn is the dross. Can you say amen? All that dependence on the flesh is going to go, but a great mighty confidence in God is going to grow. Can you say amen? And you're going to walk away from that trial. I know that I know that I know. Can you say amen? And when you know that you know that you know, it can't be shaken. Oh, I know that I know that I know. Everything is working together for my good and his glory. Thank God that our good can bring him glory. If I was here in defeat and dejection today, I couldn't glorify him. There would be no encouragement for anyone else. But I'm not here in defeat and dejection or doubt or fear. You say, Brother Venable, you better watch it. You just had a stroke. You might blow another blood vessel. Hush up. Just hush up. You might blow one having never had a stroke. You get so mad at people sometimes. If I blow one while preaching, God will either have to heal it or let me go get my crown. But I'm not going to sit in a chair today. I should have last Sunday out of wisdom. But today is it was for balance. Keep me from maybe pitching. Because I was still, the brain swells. She said, I always knew he was big-headed. Amen. Brother Remember got the big head. Yeah, your brain swells and it has to unswell. But I'm going to tell you what hasn't changed. In all of that chaos and all of that trying to focus, my son come to borrow something. I'm in the shed trying to find it. Now I'm a little disoriented. It's the day after I got out of the hospital. And he wants Dad to be back because when he needs stuff, he really needs it from my shed. He's very concerned that I can find stuff that he needs in my shed. And I'm rummaging through the stuff. And he tells me, Pamela says, you know, Dad just isn't himself. He's just not focused. And she said, well, he just had a stroke. Give him a little time. Give me a break. Amen. Just a couple of days. Amen. Hallelujah. But I want to tell you this morning, I am extremely focused. Praise God. See, Bep told this in his personal life, but I'm beginning to experience this in my own life. And when you get this experiential knowledge, it's different from just listening like a student in a classroom. Hallelujah. When you put it into practice, when you put the word into practice, you put your trust in God in your personal life, and God comes through. Amen. And God raises you up, and God does something wonderful. And listen, Joseph had to know that he knew that he knew, and he knew that he knew that he knew when he was in prison. Amen. Accused of sexual of sin and sexual crime against the woman that he refused to lay with. And his good got all of this evil upon him. But he said something to his brothers because he saw God's hand in prison. He saw God's hand at Potiphar's house. He saw God's hand, amen, to set him in a place that he would have never got to without the trouble. And he saw his brethren who caused his pressure and pain to begin with. Instead of anger and angst, he said, you meant it for evil. God meant it for good. So I'm not angry. I'm not upset. I'm not questioning God. I'm right where God has brought me through all this trouble. He had to know that he knew that he knew. And we need some Christians today, amen, that are not seeking this manipulating faith that changes everything for your personal convenience, but you're concerned about God's purpose for your life and bringing glory to his name. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 He wants you to be like his son. When Jesus went into the Garden of Gethsemane, he went into the Garden of the Olive Press. And you know what he said about what he was feeling then? Would you like to know? It wasn't a garden of roses. It wasn't a rose garden. You know what he said? My soul is sorrowful unto death. And you can see the imagery of this great stone that weighs hundreds of pounds being slowly lowered down upon the olives that have been placed upon this other stone with a groove in that bottom stone. So as they are crushed, the oil runs through that groove and is trapped for the olive oil. He said, I am pressed. I am pressed. Paul went to Gethsemane experience in Asia. He said, I would not have you to be ignorant. I'm going to be candid and forthright with you, brethren. Amen. See, we don't want trials. We don't want tests. We want a faith that comes. If anything happens, we're quick to accuse God. Quit accusing God. You need him too bad. You need him too desperately to keep questioning him when trouble comes. You need grace when trouble comes. You need mercy. And you need a no-so faith that God is still on the throne. And he's still at work in your life. Amen? Because you can't escape trouble. What are you going to run? What planet are you going to live on? In this world, you shall have tribulation. You better learn to deal with it. Because you can't escape it. He didn't. My soul is sorrowful unto death. I'm pressured. How bad was it? It wasn't a blood vessel in his head that burst. It was just beneath the skin. Just beneath his skin. Anybody got skin in here? Beneath the skin, there's little capillaries that feed your skin. The cells of your skin. He began to sweat. The sweat glands begin to produce water. The capillaries begin to break. I remember when I first started lifting weights years ago, I wanted to keep up with the big boys, and I'm not a big boy. So when I went over 300 pounds on the bench press, my blood pressure spiked. When my blood pressure spiked, sometimes I'd come home and the side of my eye would be blood red because those little capillaries would break right here. Because I was straining so very hard. He wasn't straining, but what he was feeling, if there's any other way, let this cup pass. And it was, Sean, it wasn't even the pain, but it was the pressure that he was under at that moment. He that knew no sin was going to be treated as if he was one of the worst sinners in the world in order to deliver us. He that was holy and sinless and never without his father, even in Pilate's hall, is going to be treated as a lost man, abandoned of God and forsaken on that cross. And he said, if there's another way to save mankind, let this cup pass from me. Don't ever embrace some false religion that promised you there's another way. If there's another way, God would have showed it to him and told him and wouldn't have suffered his son to be punished like that. There's no other way to pay sin's debt. That's why I love him so much. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. For as much as he has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself with the same mind. For he that suffered in the flesh, guess what, has ceased from sin. Can you say, man, that he no more live his life to what? The will of the flesh. Amen. But to the will of God. And how do you find the will of God? You have to deny the flesh to take up your cross to follow him. Can you say, man, you have to put it on the cross. You have to say, not my will, but thy will be done. Can you say, man, glory be to God. But when you do, there's a peace that comes and a power to perform his will. Amen. We got to get a mindset that says it's okay as long as you are in control and I know it. I'll go with you through this. I'll go with you all the way through to the other side. Hallelujah. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Let me hurry and close this morning. God is so gracious. He's so good. Hallelujah. I love him so very much today. You can't get this from sitting and listening. Your day of trial is going to come. And you may cave in if you don't get some experiential knowledge. Tribulation worketh patience. Patience. Experience. When you wait upon the Lord, what happens? You mount up. You mount up, patience, patience. Count it all joy. It's a mathematical term. Charge it up to joy. See, we're waiting on everything to smooth out to have any joy or semblance of joy. The Bible said, even when men revile you and cast your name out as evil, for my sake rejoice and be exceedingly glad. So if I come in here hopping like a kangaroo, you know I've had a bad week. Because of what I stand for and who I stand up for. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Everybody say exceedingly glad. Come on, that's way beyond what they do when they win the lotto. He hath made me glad more than in the time that their corn and their wine did increase. Can you say amen? They that wait upon the Lord shall mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. God wants you to experience that. But you can't experience it until he can take you through and bring you through. It's got to be experiential. Experiential. Preachers that have suffered and come through trials have an insight into grace that no one else could give you but that person who's walked through that valley with God. I love to hear them preach. It's called seasoned ministers. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I want you to know something about your preacher. It hasn't been no bed of roses. It's been a Gethsemane. But in that garden, grace flows freely. Hallelujah. And you talk about strength when you surrender to His will. Angels came. Angels came. Angels came. Here's this man. His sweat became as drops of blood, but angels came and ministered unto him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And he set, listen to the resolve now, to obey God to the letter, whatever the cost. He set. When he walked out of that garden, he set his face as a flint. That means there's no turning back, no matter what. No matter what pain, the cross, and horrors, and suffering it holds. I will not come off of that cross, no matter how many insults they hurl at me. I will stay on it until the sin debt is paid in full. Can you say amen? My dad used to play and sing that song, Must Jesus Bear His Cross Alone and All the World Go Free. No, there's a cross for everyone and there's a cross for me. Hallelujah. But I bear my cross with joy. I bear my cross with deep respect and resolve. My master is worth the persecution. My master is worth the pressure. My God is worth serving with every think that I have, because he gave himself for me. Can you say amen? Somebody give him praise in this place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He does not have to make me rich. He does not have to pull me out of any particular trouble. Amen. He's my God. He's my King. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. He's my Sovereign. And I know that I know that I know that I know it's for my good and His glory. So if you want to blame devils and question God, go ahead. But as for me, I will trust in Him whom my soul loves. Hallelujah. 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 Don't you think God wants to do something big and the devil's trying to kill you? Honey, the devil's been trying to kill me ever since I started preaching. And before. Started in my mama's womb. I was turned all crossways. They told my daddy, they said, we can go ahead and take him out of there. Jeopardize the mama with bleeding. And he may still, or we can let her have a natural birth. And the baby may or may not live. But the mother will be put in jeopardy. What a dilemma for him. He went into the bathroom of that hospital in Middlesbrough, Kentucky. Got down on his knees in the bathroom and said, Lord, if you let my wife live and this baby live, I give this child to you. This child will be yours for whatever you want in his life. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God heard him. God let my mama live. She could never have any more children because of what was wrong in the womb and what damage was done. And when I came out, and this would probably explain a lot to you folks, my head was when they the forceps, anyway, it had put a crease right down here in my head. The skull is very, very soft in the head, and there was a crease, and they wondered, would that grow out? And had it pressed on the brain? There was all of these questions. But in the first grade, Brother Sean, first grade, amen, I got a note to take home to my mama and my daddy, Mrs. Branch. If there ever was a spirit-filled Baptist lady, she was one of them. She must have been a Baptist-costal, because she was, you know, Mrs. Branch. She called my mom and my daddy in. I had a note. I couldn't read much, but I saw asking Mr. and Mrs. Venable to come to have a meeting with her. Amen. I thought, what did I do? I began to reflect. There wasn't inkwells back then. I'm not that old, but anyway, amen. Did I put anybody's pigtail in the inkwell? Did I put anything in the tack in the teacher's seat or gum or what? What is it? What have I done? My mom and daddy went in, and I was kind of standing in the background. I wanted to hear everything that's going on. Am I in big trouble or what? And I heard the teacher tell my mom and my daddy. My daddy verified it in later years. She said, "I just want you to know I've been watching your son." And I thought, boy, that's the truth. Man, she don't miss nothing in this class. She said he's more serious than the other children. Said, I don't mean that in a bad way. She said, I got to tell you what I feel. She said, I feel that God has his hand on your son. Wow. I didn't know what in the world it meant. God has his hand on me. Amen. But later on, I figured it out. When he saved me, called me to preach the gospel. Hallelujah. Praise God. Nehemiah, when he started the rebuilding of the walls, first thing he said, Sean, I told them of the hand of the Lord that was on me for this good work. And the hand of the Lord is still on me for this good work of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can you say, man? Beth Ellis, let's finish this story. God is so good today. Beth Ellis. He said, I got off the plane. I got a taxi straight to the hospital. He said, but deep inside, I wasn't as concerned as even I thought that I ought to be. He said, somewhere on the inside of me, I knew. See, he's going through this with God. Grace is flowing. Peace has come. And he knows God is in control, even when it looks like everything's out of control. And Beth said, when I got to the hospital, they were prepping my son for that tedious brain surgery to relieve the pressure on the brain. He could die at any minute, but the last thing he had heard from the doctor. He said, I knew the surgeon personally. And when I got to my son's floor up the elevator and got off the elevator, headed for this staging area for surgical patients, he said, the doctor came running down the hall to meet me. And he said, Vep, you know me, don't you? He said, yes, I do. He said, Vep, you knew that I would not call you and tell you anything that wasn't true and upset you like this. He said, yes, doctor, I realize that. He said, well, Vep, we had the x-rays. He's been in kind of a coma situation here. We have the x-rays showing the mass and the pressure on the brain. And we took final x-rays before to know exactly where to relieve the pressure. And he said, Vep, you know me. You know I wouldn't upset you like this for nothing. When we took those x-rays, there was nothing there. It's gone. He said, doctor, don't apologize. I knew that. God can do these things. When the peace of his sovereign power and purpose flows into your heart, you don't have to feel in control. You can let him take control. Oh, hallelujah. 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 But you got to get something down on the inside of you, some knowledge of God that is deeper than the superficial exposure to the gospel. Something that takes you through these high places and these deep valleys. What a good God we serve. Oh, friend, I want you to know I could have went home in that floor. I could have just went on home. Amen. I told my wife, I said, I don't want to be left paralyzed, be a burden to you. I'll just go on home. It's okay. But see, God didn't want me home. He wanted me here, right here. I'm in the kingdom for a time such as this. He wanted me right here, right now. He still wants me on WMAF broadcasting. He still wants the website up and running and sermons being added. He still wants the gospel going to the nations of the world. Can you say, man? And God is still in control. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 And I'm going to tell you something else. I'm dependent on the Holy Ghost to do the work. He's the Lord of the harvest. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. He's going to do it through you and me, but he's going to do it. Hallelujah. God is so good today. When you know that you know that you know, a deep peace comes in the middle of the chaos and the circumstances. And you suffer in the flesh. That means your flesh that wants to question, your flesh that wants to get out from under it all, your flesh that wants to flee from it all. It feels the pressure, it feels the pain. But you cease from sin and disobedience because you surrender to His will. Not my will be done, but thy will be done. Thy kingdom come. You rule my life. You're the king of who I am. Praise God. Hallelujah. That missionary said, I didn't follow my guide blindly because I knew that he knew how to get me to where I needed to be. So I just trusted him, kept my eyes on him. And he said, out of nowhere, an opening in the thick jungle appeared. And a village in a flat area just opened up. And he said, all of my concerns and all my questions, he said, were laid to rest when we walked out of that thick jungle. And he was glad then that he followed the one who said, I am the path. Just keep your eyes on me and keep your trust in me, and we'll get to where I'm taking you. And I believe he's doing that in my life. I believe he'll do it in your life. I believe he's doing it in your life right now. Just trust him. Can you say amen? And as you go through this, experience is going to come. Praise God. And experience brings what? Hope. If it happens again, I'm not talking about a stroke. I'm talking about whatever happens. Whatever chaotic, out of control, seemingly, where is God and why is he letting this happen? When that occurs, and it probably will, we're in a fallen world that we're going to have pressure. If things don't go wrong, you can't have tribulation. Hey man, are you tribulating? Yet? If not, hang out a while. It's coming. But don't be afraid. God is on the throne and he's able to cause all things. We know this. Hallelujah. To work together for good to them that love him and are the called. Dale said it one time. I remember we were preaching along this line. And Dale came up after the service and said, Brother Venable, the things that once knocked us on our back now put us on our face. If it puts you on your face before the Lord, good has already begun. Good has already begun. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many people in here want a deeper trust in him who suffered and died for you? You want a deeper trust. You want it to deepen. Praise God. You don't want to be blown off course. You don't want to just be questioning God. You want to be trusting God so that you can find the peace and the rest and the strength that you need when trouble comes. What a wonderful God we serve today. This church and this ministry can't grow without the Holy Spirit doing something supernatural. Our ingenuity and energy combined can't make it grow. Can you say amen? But the Spirit added to the church. God, by His Spirit, added to the church daily such as should be saved. You know what that meant? He had already prepared their heart before He brought them to receive the message that would bring them into the kingdom. Oh, hallelujah. They came in prepared in their heart by the Spirit drawing them. And when they heard the gospel, they came to Christ. Hallelujah. They came by the droves to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. And that's what we're looking for, is that Lord of the harvest working to help us bring in the golden grain. Praise God. Hallelujah. Through people just like you and just like me who love him. We're destined to mature. Whom he did foreknow, he did predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Jesus learned obedience through the things that he suffered. After you have suffered for a while, the Bible said he will establish you, strengthen you, and settle you. Sounds like I know that I know that I know again. Can you say amen? Established means that you're unshaken. Strengthen means power comes into your life. Not of yourself, but the Holy Spirit. And settled, that's when you are at rest, even when you are at war. Amen. Having done all, Stand. Stand, therefore. Praise God. After you've what? Suffered for a while. How long is a while? Till God sees. Till God sees. Till God sees that you're getting, I know that I know that I know. That you're not ready to throw in the towel and quit trusting Him the next time trouble comes. Or a prayer isn't answered in your time frame. You've got to grow out of that, or the devil's going to defeat you, and if he can, destroy you. But if you'll let God, He will strengthen you, establish you, and settle you. Again, I want to see the hands. How many people want their faith and trust in Him to be deepened?
Amen.
Now I'm going to ask, how many people are encouraged when you hear of somebody that's been through a deep, dark valley and God has not only brought through but brought glory to His name in the process? How many are glad to hear those? Does it encourage you to know, hallelujah, that your pastor doesn't just preach these things, that I live them just like everybody else? Can you say, man? So give. Let me listen to a man that suffered, hallelujah, in the flesh. Hallelujah. Let me hear from a man who's went through doubts and fears and questions, and God has brought him through and established him on the other side with a deep, settled faith. Can you say amen? Give me a man like David who's been in that deep valley, who said, He delivered me from the horrible pit. Hallelujah. Praise God. Give me a man that talks to himself. Soul, why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for He shall yet be the health of thy countenance. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Give me an honest man about his faith and his need for God's help. Give me an honest man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When my heart, not if, Brother Sean, but when it happens, because it's going to happen because you're a human being. When my heart is overwhelmed within me, He's not telling this to a brother or sister. He's directing this to His God. Lead me to that rock that is higher than I. For the Lord has been a shelter for me. And a refuge from my enemies. You're my shield. You're my buckler. You're my glory. And you're the lifter of my head. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 David been there. Glory to God. And God brought him through. Restored his soul. Hallelujah, Hosanna. And it was an honor to honor Jesus Christ when they knew His lineage was through that bloodline. Amen. In His physical life. And they said, Son of David. Can you say, man? How can God take a man that deep in depression, that deep in sin's possession, amen, that God brought out of that pit and brought through that terrible time and reestablished him and gave him a testimony? These be the last words of the sweet psalmist of Israel. Hallelujah, man after God's own heart. Hallelujah. What God did in the life of David should encourage everybody in this room. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Will you stand to your feet today? Did you learn anything this morning? Are you getting some know that I know that I know? Is it coming? Do you feel it coming? Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, 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 yes. Hallelujah. Don't leave here today without looking up to and reaching out to God. Don't leave here today with all of those questions, with a feeling that God has abandoned you. Joe Woodward, my pastor, Saturday morning, I had two things on my mind when I got up. We didn't have television in my house. When I was healed of cancer at 8 going on 9, we didn't have television. So I got up to listen to one of those radio serials on this big
airline radio from Montgomery Ward. I remember it would come on with a song, and I'm reminiscing the Teddy Bear's Picnic. Don't go into the woods today. The Teddy Bear's Picnic. Here I am listening for that because there's some entertainment right down on my level on Saturday morning. But right after that entertainment for children, I heard my pastor's theme song come on the air. I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story, will be my theme in glory, to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love. You know something? Right here today, the gospel of Jesus Christ, I'm still telling the old, old story, and I love to tell it, of Jesus and His love. If you want something mystical instead of something practical, you're in the wrong church. Amen. But if you want to tell me more about Jesus, you're in the right church. Because I still love to tell the story of Jesus and His love. Hallelujah. I still believe it can melt hearts and mold lives today to those who love Him back in full surrender. Praise God. And my pastor would come on. And I remember him finishing his story. He said, Joe, I love you. And he said, the image of an angry God chasing sinners with wrath turned into a loving God reaching down to save them. And God restored his ministry, his personal walk with him. Praise God. Thank God. Hallelujah. When I saw his funeral obituary, I went to the website where you can leave a comment. And I said, I was healed of cancer of the blood when I was 8 going on 9 in the church that Joe Woodward pastored in Tampa, Florida. And I am now a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Because God let me live and sent me to tell others of what He could do. And I'm so thankful that this man went and preached. I'm glad that, not glad that he fell away, but I'm glad that God recovered him, restored him. Can you say amen? Aren't you glad to hear of lives that have been reclaimed and restored? Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Take courage in your heart today. How many again are going to pursue this with me? Amen. Will you just trust Him? He's your path. He's your guide. He has something good in store. If you won't, throw in the towel. Don't give up on God. And listen carefully. Don't give up on yourself, because God has not given up on you. God will not give up on you. God will not give up on you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Let's give Him praise in this place. Hallelujah, before we leave today. Blessed be His name. Blessed be His name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Give Him